You've heard the jokes, right? Two guys walk into a bar. So this one goes. Two schoolmates in their 20s walk into a bar. Bartender says,
"If anyone who wants to buy this bloody thing, it's for sale."
And the young blokes say,
"Bloody oath. Just go for it, yeah."
At the end of the day, you're only going to go broke, so what's the worst that can happen? You can always make more of it.
My name is Hannah Walsh, and that's not actually a joke. It's an accurate account of how two young men bought a pub in remote Australia without actually enough money to pay for it. I've left my small outback town of Longreach. I've been driving for 2 hours on a one-lane road, seeing nothing but massive road trains and the odd dead kangaroo. And I've just rolled into an even smaller town. That's Stonehenge, population 25. It has a small school, a visitor information centre, a caravan park, and a pub. That's where I'm headed. I'm not here to have a drink, though. I'm here to talk business.
Grant Champion, half owner to the Stonehenge Hotel pub.
Tom Oriak, the other half owner to the Stonehenge pub.
Asking Grant and Tom if they would have stood a chance getting a bank loan to buy this pub, I met with laughter.
God, don't think so, no.
Two
24-year-olds.
Not a chance.
Not a daughter in our name.
And then, yeah, the bank would have just laughed at us walking in and walking out.
So how is it? 2 years after that fateful night on the beers, they now own this pub outright.
Well, the champagne bottles come out anyway. We're over the moon about it all. To officially actually own something has been pretty cool.
No, it was good. We didn't break it over the bar like a new boat or anything, but the old $12 bottle of whatever it was, but no, it was good.
The boys have got to get back to work, so I take a stool next to former publican Tony Jackson.
I'll have a beer, thanks, Grant.
Actually, you tell them how it happened, Tony.
We're standing out the back there, out the back of the kitchen on the front of the car, and Grant offered me $170. I said to them how much money they have, and they said they had $50,000. I said, you'll struggle to get money from the bank, probably. I would supply some vendor finance if they were interested. So we struck up a deal. I left $120,000 in, and they put their $50 down, and they paid $1,000 every Monday until it was all gone. They never missed.
Even though it's a business, it's not just about business. Tony knows firsthand how important it is that the pub stays open. The pub is the community's heart. That's how he came to own it.
Well, like all these small towns, and Stonehenge, of course, is a little bit smaller than a lot of towns, but it's integral to the running of this town. It's a central place. It's where the PNC have their meeting. It's where the rodeo club have their meeting. It's where we have 30th birthdays. It's where we have 21st birthdays. It's a great meeting place in town.
And the community almost lost it when its long-term hoteliers retired.
I mean, the back door was never shut, and if you needed anything, whether Jeff and Judy were open or not, you were able to get it and write a note on the bench here and fix them up later. So we were spoiled with that. And then Jeff and Judy retired, and some other people bought the hotel, and the doors ended up being shut more times than they were open. So the little pub came up for sale, so yeah, I bought it. And that was in 2016. It's a tremendous little business here at Stonehenge, and surprisingly how strong the business is, really.
Tony's been cutting deals in the bush for decades. But even for him, two men in their mid-20s, asking to buy his bar without finance was gutsy.
I mean, I've given time payments for stock and received plenty of time payments for stock too over the years, don't worry. So it's not something new, but on the other hand, from my perspective, as great a little business as this is, we have to remember that it is at Stonehenge, and not everybody wants to live at Stonehenge. So when the boys approached me for the sale, and I'd had a great run here, so, you know, if you want to sell something and someone wants to buy it, you've got to meet in the middle ground there somewhere and make it all happen, and that's what we did.
Wouldn't it, Tom?
What's this, Ari?
You've never not got a beer in your hand, so it'd be unnatural for us not to have one each, wouldn't it?
You better have one, Tony, I suppose, mm-hmm. Eh?
In a unique market where one half of the year is quiet, slow local trade, and the other half is reliant on a flow of caravanners and road trippers, these two are learning on the job.
You sort of learn about those little tricks, and it's sort of each day is the same. But yeah, you sort of learn those things, and once you get on top of those, like accounting and all your bookwork and stock take and all that sort of few things, you get on top of it, you're pretty well, yeah.
Probably when you do get the odd one coming in, giving it a bit of constructive criticism, you have to learn how to bite your tongue a little bit, but besides that, it's all fun and game. I think that's just a part of the hospitality industry. doing the dishes is pretty ordinary, but besides that, it's all, you know, it's all good, and people come in here and throw events and that sort of thing and support us, so it's a good gathering place for...
Yeah, we've had a lot of support, like 30th, and yeah, a lot of people wanted to throw on events here, so it's been real fun.
At a time when young people are facing challenges of getting into the property ladder, inflation, tougher lending criteria, a generous interest-free vendor finance deal could sound risky or unusual.
It should be more of a common thing that people do, because a lot of people were, you know, sceptical on the idea, thinking that, you know, he might take it back at any given chance, but there has to be a bit of a trust there. And I think that it should be an option for more businesses if the vendor like Tony can confront it, and it gets a lot of people, you know, their first step into the door.
I think it's just more of an outback sort of thing. It might not seem like a normal for the city sort of people, but people in the outback always give each other hands on properties and stuff like that. I think it's just part of the country way.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work this out, but they've paid me $52,000 a year for the last couple of years, paying the pub off. So going forward now, as I was discussing with them the other day, straight away they're $52,000 better off this year than they are last year, because they haven't got to pay me.
But even though Grant grew up in this region and Tony knew his family well, Tony says he would have done the same deal even if he hadn't.
I probably would have, because I'm in for a penny, in for a pound sort of person, you know.
So I think, yeah, more people need to have a bit more trust in one another, and yeah, and just have a go and give and give back sort of thing. Time for another beer.